So awesome. I'm glad we serve such a very powerful Savior. He's got it together. I was looking through some stuff this week, and I hadn't run across this. And I remember when I was a little boy, I'd ask Mama to help me with math. She goes, "I don't know anything about that new math." You ever hear that? And I was in engineering and stuff, so I never said it to my boys, but I heard others say, "We don't know anything about new math." And so then we had history and all this stuff. So I saw this and I thought about it. Actually, this is my cousin Clem.
Doodle
Hopper. Yeah, Clem Doodle Hopper. Yeah, Clem. Clem just couldn't learn. One day his teacher asked him who signed the Declaration of Independence. He didn't know. For almost a week, she asked Clem the same question every day, but still, Clem come up with couldn't come up with the right answer. So finally, he goes to his uncle, or to his daddy, Claude, in desperation. And he's talking to his daddy. The teacher calls the daddy's father to her office. She says, "Your boy won't tell me who signed the Declaration of Independence," she complained. He said, "Come here, Clem, sit down." And his daddy said to the boy, "Now, if you sign that crazy blank, just admit it so we can get out of here." Yeah. Some kind of trees don't have any forks in it. All right, so here we go. The burning bush. God is awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, stand for the reading of the word. By faith, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he be destroyed. He that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, which the Egyptians are saying were to do, but they were drowned. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. We know, God, that you've got everything under control. We trust you 100%. We know, God, that you've got this. We know, God, that you're going to take care of us. We know, God, that nothing that comes our way has not already been screened by you. And you know that if it was going to devastate us, that you would not have allowed it. But with you, we can handle it. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless and anoint each person here today, God, and let them know, Lord, that you have got us tied up, sewed up in your hands, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
Amen.
Let's explain the same. The past is behind us.
The
future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. We ain't God good. Get a little brother hand back. Let's pray. Now, I got a question to ask you. And it's a good question. And that is, hopefully, we won't be here too much longer today. But you know why? Who knows? You know, the Lord can't move, y'all flying up, running and dancing and shouting, and it'll be okay. You know, in the church of God, you can always tell back in the day if you had a good service or not by how many bobby pins you could pick off the floor. One day we had this thing, get a magnet, go down and pick them all up. It was something. You know, during the revival, stick the magnet and pick up the bobby pins. Amen. So, let me ask you a question. There's the burning bush. Do you want to stand before burning bushes? or dried roots?
Dried roots.
Wow. That's so good, I got to ask that one again. Do you, I don't want to stand before a dried root. Do you want to stand before a burning bush, or do you want to stand before dried roots? That's a very powerful question. And this has a lot to do with inner spiritual warfare. It's got to do with how we handle things. It's got to do with how we allow God to work with us. Because a lot of times God wants to work with us, but we have this thing going that we don't think God can use us because of what we've done, where we've been, what we said, God can't use us. And that's the furthest from the truth. I was doing communion sin. I was thinking about it in B5 just a few weeks ago when I gave those guys communion. Some of those guys said that they had never experienced communion in their entire life. Wow. And what was even more awesome was the week before that we had baptism for those guys. So very, very powerful stuff. So now, Hebrews chapter 11 is the heroes of faith. Okay? Think about it. These are all the heroes of faith. And so we look at it, it's about winners, it's about God's hall of fame of faith. But watch this. Listen carefully. We'll read this, but thinking, I can't ever aspire to that. I can never get to that level. I can never think that my name will be put in any of God's books about the hero of faith or heroes of faith. God will never put me anywhere in there because I just don't have what it takes. I've always losing. I'm always coming up short. Well, guess what about these people? Let me just tell you something. We often forget, and I mean often forget, that these were ordinary people. Ordinary. There was nothing superhuman about these people. Every last one of them, when God showed us the heroes of faith, He showed us the zeros in their life along with them being a hero. He showed their scars, He showed their blemishes, He showed their scratches, He showed them messing up, He showed it all so that when we would become, it would be our chance, our opportunity, to stand up and be counted for, we would know that we're all just ordinary people, but God has called us to do extraordinary achievements. And so again, let's just keep on going. There's several things about the heroes of faith. Matter of fact, I'm in this. This is what they had in common. They weren't perfect. Anybody here perfect? They weren't perfect. They failed a lot. Anybody here fail a lot?
Amen.
How many times did you tell God, God, I promise if you get me out of this, and I won't do it again? And God, I just see God up in heaven look down and go, yeah, right. But all of them, through God and through their faith, reached that awesome goal. So, why did they reach this awesome goal? Why was such an awesome thing happening then? Because it came to a pivotal point in their faith life. So you're in here right now. You're at a pivotal point in your faith life. And it's right at this point when God is fixing to set you on the launching pad to do something even greater with you. And He's going to take your ordinary, and when you hand your ordinary to God, He puts His extra with it, and you get an extraordinary. Okay? So, what happened was, they made the right decisions. Now, I remember when I was a little boy watching the Ten Commandments and watching Charlton Heston get up there, and, you know, and he stood before the Red Sea, and I went, whoa, he is a bad, bad dude! I told you about my granddaddy. My granddaddy, he could put them on wheels sometimes. He could tell stories. You know, I mean, good stories, bad stories. He just makes that fun. He was good at all kinds of stuff. Always had everybody in stitches and laughing. And he had a big old 25-inch console RCA TV, and it was on the blink. He had a little 9-inch black light on top. Charlton Heston came on. He watched the Ten Commandments on that 9-inch TV. I came in. After he parted the Red Sea, I come in and my granddaddy said, grandson, I was working at Radio Shack. He said, grandson, can you please fix my television? I said, I'll be here tomorrow to fix it, granddaddy. He said, please do.
He said, because I was just watching the Ten Commandments in Charleston, Heston. He said that TV was so small, he had to make two trips. Bless his heart. We think about Moses and think about that's power right there. Tell me, that's power. You hold up your rod and the waters part. We can never do that. How many of you ever thought about that? Thought about some of the things people have done and said, there's no way I can do that because I don't have it in me. I'm often failing. I'm often messing up. I tell God I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I tell God I need your help. He gives me help and I refuse it. There's no way, God, I can do that. Guess what? Moses is no exception for this commonality among the people in the heroes of faith. Why? He was not perfect by a long shot. He experienced failure big time. Matter of fact, he even killed. He felt God's call. When he gets 40 years old, he's feeling God's call. He sees his people being undermined and work hard. And so he decides, he feels God's call on his life to deliver them. So he goes in his own strength and he kills one soldier and buries him. Some of y'all in here, you wonder if God can use you because you felt it. But then you try to do it on your own strength, and all you did was kill one soldier, buried. You killed a soldier, buried it. Some people didn't understand. They were against him. They told everybody that the Egyptians were against him, and then he was cast out. You see, he reached his goal when he realized that if you take his ordinary and give it to God, God puts his extra with it. It becomes extraordinary. So instead of just killing one Egyptian and having the people upset with him, when it was all over with, God, through Moses, and through his obedience, and through him giving God his ordinary, God killed the mightiest army on the earth, and Moses delivered 1.5 million people. Wow. It's amazing when you quit putting the cart before the horse. You know, I used to tell my boys this stuff when they were younger, and they would go, yeah, Dad. Now I get to hear them say this stuff, and they're going, have I told you that? Blah, blah, blah. And I go, I wonder where they heard that. Just look there, I heard this. He's saying, I told them, you can't push a rope. You got to pull it. If you push a rope, you'll never get there. You got to pull it. And I said, that's an awesome saying, son. And in my head, I was saying, you, I told you that 10,000 times. But it finally kicked in. So how did he reach his goal? He answered four basic life questions, and I want everybody today. We're not going to be able to get off of this today. We're going to start it today. We'll finish it. Well, next week, John's going to tell us about his trip to Japan. He's back. So he's going to tell us about his trip to Japan next week. So the following week, I think, is Father's Day. And then the following week, I'll finish this up. Because we got a whole lot going on. All right? But still, you'll get enough now to really help out a lot. He settled four basic life questions. Four things that if we're not careful, we won't even think about this because we think that, you know, well, the Bible's just all spiritual. Yeah, the Bible's all spiritual, but the Bible also answers a lot of life's questions and the best counseling and the best psychology and the best of everything always begins and ends with God's Word. So here we go. Ready? Let's get going here. The basic life questions. Ready? Who am I? Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, 40 years old, a grown man, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Number two, what are my choices? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And what is really important? The pleasures of sin for a season or doing what God has called you to do. And then, what are my goals? Verse 27. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. They said he destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea and is on dry ground. Wow, that's some powerful stuff. And this stuff I just read was in those four questions. Every person in here, that man, woman, and child, if you want God to use you, you want to get from ordinary to extraordinary, you got to answer those four questions. So let's just go ahead a little bit. Let's just work with them for a minute. See, again, before you can truly be used by God, you got to do the same thing. So here it goes. Basic life questions, all right? Number one. Here it is. Here's the answer to these questions. Ready? Let's keep going. The four principles, four basic principles. It applies to everybody's life. And if you want to be effective for God and His kingdom, you got to answer them. Number one, who am I? Just about every time I'm counseling somebody that's going through a rough road,
a preacher.
Just about every time I'm going through a rough road, or every time I'm going through a rough road, it starts with first who you are. Because Satan tries to make you feel like you're nobody. You're nothing. You've been too bad, you've gone too far. God can't use you. I'm here to give you a challenge. Be yourself. You know, Brandon and I were talking a while ago, and I said, I get around some people because they find out I'm a preacher. The only one talking about, I studied the Bible last night, and I did this, and blah, 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 and blah, 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 all the way, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, how's your family? What are you doing? Good with you? All right. I go, I'm glad you read the Bible. How's your wife? How's your kids? But blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, I'm glad you're studying, but just talk to me. Because that's what, when you see me as a preacher, all of a sudden you're out of your self mode. And now you're either trying to show me you're doing good or you're trying to impress me. And I promise you, you want to impress me, be yourself. Just be yourself. Be yourself. It's a very powerful thing. You know why? Because we're like snowflakes. There, out of all these people in here today, not one of us has a duplicate in here. Not one. We're all different. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different things. I have identical twin brothers that are born 3 minutes apart. And although they look a lot alike and they sound a lot alike and they've got a lot of life experiences together, I promise you I can look at them and I can tell which one I got. Especially if they start being their self. One is an artist, a commercial artist. The other works at the gas company. He's into all these restoring cars. I can tell because, listen, they're not trying to be like each other when they were younger. Mama gave them the same haircut. Lord, have mercy. The same haircut, the same clothes, the same everything. We all used to sleep, all three of us step in the same room, in the same bed, in the same pair of underwear. We just all together. Mama put us all together. You know. So, Mama one day, I remember this, and I kept it, and I used it with my kids. I was 2.5 years older than my brothers. But before I could get a BB gun, they had to be old enough to get a BB gun. Before I could get a bicycle, they had to be old enough to get a bicycle. Whatever it was, I had to wait years till they were able. Then Mama would let me have it. One day Mama came to me and she said, son, please forgive me. I did you a big injustice. I said, how, Mama? You're an awesome Mama. I love you. She says, yeah, but there was those times, remember y'all growing up, she said, I would hold you back until they could catch up with you. And she said, don't do that to your children. And I said, Mama, thank you. I won't. And I didn't. Again. So, be yourself. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That means to reject, to deny, to totally disown. He wanted to do what God made him to do. If God wanted him to be Pharaoh, then God would have made him Egyptian. Now don't think about that and say, oh, God wanted me to fly and give me wings. I'm not getting on a plane. Different thing. If God would have wanted him to be Pharaoh, God would have let him be born Egyptian. But God had a plan for him. And that plan was he had to know what's going on in Egypt and learn the sciences and the math and all the stuff of the Egyptians. He had to learn all this stuff so that he could be very effective, and he knew how to be the one to go in and take the people out. So at 40 years old, he realized, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be Pharaoh's son. God's got something bigger for me. So number one, he was himself. Your life has purpose. Your story is important. Your dreams count. Your voice matters. You were born to make an impact. Every last one of us. It may be at your job. It may be in your family. It may be in your arena that you're in. It may be your circle of friends. But God has called us all to make an impact. I like the little story where they're talking about at a funeral. They said the most important part on that tombstone is not the birth date and the death date. The most important part of that tombstone is the hyphen in between. What they did. God's given me a chance to meet some very, very, very powerful people right here in this church. In the end, they would think that they're just ordinary people, but I got a chance to see him in the worst of times, under the worst of circumstances, and still see them hold their faith and still stand strong before God. Although they might not have been Samson, or they might not have been Moses at the Red Sea, they still, God used it to part Red Seas and to take on the enemy. And they sometimes didn't even realize it. You see, it's that hyphen in the middle. So, be yourself. The problem is, Moses had an identity crisis. He had to decide, who am I? Today, some of y'all, right now, you're standing here, sitting here, you're having an identity crisis. Your crisis is, again, who are you? Who am I? How can God use me? Remember, there's only one. My mom used to say, thank God there's only one David Cricket Flynn. God gave me the gift of ADHD. Of course, we didn't take medicine by then. Daddy administered leather, not medicine. But my wife was sitting there on the couch some nights. She'll go, I never met your mom, but I still pray for her all the time. All right. Who am I? The purpose is God made you for a purpose. He made you to be part of a plan, and there's nobody that can do what you can do except you. He'll use other people. Cain and Abel. Abel was in the bloodline, but because Cain, who was in the flesh, and Abel, who was working by the Spirit, the flesh killed the Spirit, and of course religion killed a relationship, so God brought Seth in. Well, some of y'all, inside of you, you're letting your Cain kill your Abel. Wow. It's powerful. Don't they? Well, let flesh kill the spirit in you. So, be yourself. No matter who you are, you have a divine purpose. Every last one of us. You know, you say, well, God can't ever use me. Well, I'm going to tell you this then. I don't think it's going to be a mighty arm when I get it figured out. Yeah, you think God can't use you. Somebody told you you were nothing when you were growing up. That's anything that can't be used, blah, blah, blah. You know what I tell people when they say, you can't do this? I say, yeah, bumblebees can't fly either. Do you know, scientifically, a bumblebee is not supposed to be able to fly? But how many's ever seen them crawling on the ground to get pollen? They're flying around. How many's ever been popped in the head by one of them that can't fly? Those suckers hurt too. Especially if you ride a motorcycle. Next time Satan or somebody tells you that God can't use you, you just say, yeah, bumblebees are not supposed to be able to fly either. Amen? Amen. So, but you see, I'm still hung up on that for just a minute, and I'll be off in just a second. When we get to this point, or when he gets to that point, he finds inner peace. Refuse means to reject and deny totally his own. Of course, he wouldn't do what God made him do. So when he got to this point, I want to be all God has called me to be, that's when the peace hit him. So now, what are my choices? Get ready. We're going to have fun till my daddy took the T-bird away. Accept responsibility for your own life. Quit blaming everybody else. I could have done this for pay. I could have done this for what they told me. I could have done this for my mama, for my daddy. My mama didn't change my diaper enough. When I was going to court for Bethany, I went to court for Bethany. I didn't even know I was getting her. I went to court on Bethany's behalf for 3 years. And I didn't know until the very end that I was going to get her. But somebody had to be there for her, and I was asked to go in and represent her. And so I did for 3 whole years. The only thing I missed, the very first case, the very first one. I was there every case. Sometimes I was sitting there for hours. And it was domestic court. It was family court. After about a year, I started testifying against the dad and the stepdad who actually abused her. The DA would call me up and ask me to tell what I know about things because I was actually, at that time, her mother came to our church, and so I got a chance to do some counseling and stuff, and I found out some things. And so as these guys were telling one story, but it wasn't adding up, so the DA would say, what do you think? Get up here, tell us, Reverend, what's going on? Talk to us. And so, so I was up there at every case, got to talk. But I remember one day, and it stuck. There was a 15-year-old girl up there, and she'd gotten in trouble so many times. And the mother got up on the stand and said, Judge, will you please take my kid from me and put her in foster care? And the judge says, excuse me, what did you just say? She said, I can't do a thing with her. Will you please take her from me? Put her in foster care, put her in a home, I don't care. Just take her. And the judge quoted I won't say Edgar Allan Poe. When Edgar Allan Poe, but it was the FBI guy, and said that discipline doesn't start, the discipline starts in the high chair, not the electric chair. And he said, ma'am, I know she's a handful, but I followed what's been going on. And you gave up on her many, many, many years ago. And the judge said, I'm not taking her anywhere. I'm sending her back with you. This is what the judge said. And he said, I'm going to keep my eye on this case. And he says, you be a mom to her. And he and said, if she does anything else and she stands before me, you're going to pull her out. Whoa. He said, accept the responsibility as her parent instead of letting someone else take care of it all the time. How about your own life? Quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming everything. All these things are happening to me. Got the Charlie Brown symptoms. You know, why is everybody always picking on me? When you do like Moses, and you decide to quit blaming everybody else, and you decide a deliberate choice, God, I'm yours. Do me as you want to. Guess what? Remember, you got a choice. Since I've heard people say, I don't have any choices. Yes, you do. You can place blame, or you can accept responsibility. Period. Y'all say period.
Period.
You can place blame or accept responsibility. Sometimes it may be, look, there's a difference in me placing blame and me just understanding the mechanics. The mechanics might say, yes, if they hadn't done this, then things would have been better. If they hadn't done this or whatever. But there's a difference in understanding the mechanics and just always placing blame. So, I remember when I first hit the fountain, there were 750 reoccurring problems. And when they made me corrective action manager, they said, your job is to stop the revolving door. And I remember going on the floor, and I would start talking about the problems. And just about every time, somebody would say, it's his fault. Oh, it's his fault. It's his fault. And I've got to say, hold, please stop. As long as you don't keep pointing fingers, we're never going to figure anything out. I said, I promise you think you can get fired if I find out you messed up. You're not going to get fired. You're probably going to get a raise because we're going to stop these problems. And then they started getting raises, and they started getting promotions, and started getting $100 bills and stuff for this stuff. And then continued problems. And that first year, we went from 750 reoccurring problems to less than 200. In less than a year, because they quit placing blame and started accepting responsibility. So, do something about it. You decide to change. It's always going to be easy. You got a big part in this, amen? You got a big part. So now, be responsible. Who is he? God chose Moses as a baby. God chose him as a baby, put him where he was supposed to be. He didn't die like all the other boys were dying. Everything was okay. He knew what he was doing. He protected him by sending him to Egypt. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Wow. Before he ever formed us in our mama's belly, he formed us. You see, when you think about it that way, my mama and daddy wind up being the vehicle. But I didn't come from mama and daddy. I came from God through my mama and daddy. Today, you may have had a bad childhood. You may have had some bad stuff. You may have wished that you had different parents. Just remember, I wish I hadn't come from them. Just remember, you didn't come from them. You came from God with a purpose and a design. A divine purpose and a divine design. You came through your parents. And God knew what your parents were going to be like. And he knew what was going to happen. But he uses that for you now. So, in Psalm 139, it talks about it. It says, every day of your life, I already wrote down in my book before you were ever born. I wrote everything down. I got it all written down. I know you that well. So, he chose him as a baby. Verse 23 and verse 25, he gets a choice. Verse 24, he made his choice when he was come to years. This wasn't a fly-by-night decision. He thought about it. He was 40 years old. He was a grown man. He thought about his decision. He thought about his life. And he knew that God had him. So now, I'm getting ready to close. Before we close, and BJ, can you come play us some music, bro? Play something for us softly. Mark of maturity. Mature people take responsibility for their actions. This week's assignment, get ready. This is our assignment. I want you to do this. You ain't got to take it down. Just remember the verse. Colossians 3:17, to amplify. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. If you can, that's what I lived by when I was a fountain. I lived by that all the time. And I got on the floor, and this guy said, I didn't do it. I said, fellas, we can't fix anything as long as I'll keep converting. Let's go ahead and fix it. And to my Christian friends that were there, I will tell them this. I people come to me all the time and say, how come you're always so jolly, even at race season and when show season, where everybody's all stressed out? You walk around smiling and talking good to people? I said, right there. If you'll do this week, your week will radically change. Physically, it's going to change. It was amazing how nobody wanted to do anything until they started seeing changes were being made. And whoever got this heavy engineering always steals our ideas. And I go, not this time. You give me your idea. We fix it, you get claim it. And so they would help me fix it, and there would be a picture on the wall. One of the fountains, giving him a fresh $100 bill. It's amazing how after a couple of them got on the wall, then more kept getting on the wall, all over the place, pictures of the $100 bill with Wyatt, handing them to them for their idea. Physically, that's the way I did it. Physically, everything changed. Mentally, people quit trying to place blame on everything. They're just trying to take responsibility. You know, I got a way to fix this. Can we talk? Sure. The first couple of months, I had to go out and drag it out of them. Then, after we started getting it rolling, then I had to say, y'all slow down. Calm down. Spiritually, we were having a bad year, hadn't had any sales. That year, the economy was jumping all back and forth. And I had in my back pocket, I had my daily prayer and confession. And I was talking to one of the sales reps, and I pulled that thing out, and it's a bus, and I showed it to him. I thank you, God, today for your breath. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you, God, for showing us what we need to do here at Fountain. I thank you for my family. And I kept going down the line, thanking God for his help and assistance. And he said, can you do one of those? He said, matter of fact, can you just give me that? I said, well, okay. And so I made him off a copy. I said, it really works. It makes you feel better physically, mentally, spiritually. I gave it to him. couple of days, because I talk to all the people, I go look at toolboxes, and somebody had gone and got that and made copies of it. And every toolbox I stood by was that daily confession and prayer. And everybody started praying and believing the same thing. And they had a boat sale in Florida. But they come back from Florida, I can't remember how many it was. It was astronomical how many boats they saw. And they said, we got enough boats now to keep us a well over a year out. And I heard one of the guys say, what happened? The thing turned around. And I pulled out that piece of paper. I said, we didn't do it. God did. And that guy said, can I get one of those papers? Just remember, whatever you're doing, you're not doing it under a hard hand, you're doing it under God. You're not doing it for some people that are ungrateful, you're doing it under God. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. God's Baptist. God's got this. I'll say that. God's. Everybody stand. Give it to God and let him help you. God can help that Abel rise up in you. And God can use you mightily. God's got us. I know we got some weird things going on. I know anybody has some weird things happening in your life. I wonder how can God use that. You may never know how God can use that, but when you get to heaven, you'll discover it. If you're here today and you're ready for God to show up in your life and show off. And you're ready. I want you to think about something before you pray, before you go there. The world, religion, the indifferent world we live in, it tolerates religion, but it doesn't tolerate salvation. This indifferent world that we live in, this system shifts our minds. Satisfies our minds, but it sabotages our soul. This indifferent world calls us to adjust to the current situation instead of making a difference. If you're ready to make a difference and you're ready to see God do something, first I want to ask, we just put the hand up. I want to be used. I want to be used by God. I really, really, really want to be. Let's pray together. Everybody pray this. Father, I recommit my life to you. I thank you that I know you got me. And I know that you got me where you want me. And you can use me just like I am. I thank you, God, that you showed the heroes of faith every bump, every bruise, every pimple, you showed it all. So that I can have trust that you can use me too. Right now, God, I'm giving you my ordinary. Add your extra to it. So I can do extraordinary for you. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Y'all ready? This week's going to be different. Why? I'm not saying you don't ever do this. I know you do, but we're going to bump it up a little bit. This right here. Look at this verse and do it because you're ready to see radical change. I know I am. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Father God, we count it an honor and privilege to be able to stand before you this day, Lord. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for the message today, Lord. As we depart these doors, Lord, let us go out, Father, with a new day tomorrow, Father, to spread the holy word. We ask you to bring us back at the next appointed time. This is all thanks to all we ask in your Son, thank you, Jesus Christ. And to this I do say, amen and amen. Amen.
Just Chris.